Amen. You have your Bibles. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 48. I've titled the message, A Mature Faith. A Mature Faith. I thought this was interesting. Norman Vincent Peale in Power of the Plus Factor said, "Once walking through the twisted little streets of Kowloon in Hong Kong, I came upon a tattoo studio. In the window were displayed samples of the tattoos available. On the chest or arms, you could have tattooed an anchor or a flag or a mermaid or whatever. But what struck me with force were three words that could be tattooed on one's flesh. Born to lose. I entered the shop in astonishment. And pointing to those words, I asked the Chinese tattoo artist, does anyone really have that terrible phrase, born to lose, tattooed on his body? He replied, yes, sometimes. But I said, I just can't believe that anyone in his right mind would do that. The Chinese man simply tapped his forehead and said in broken English, before tattoo on body, tattoo on mind. Before tattoo on body, tattoo on mind. It all happens up here. This is where the battle is. This is where the faith is. This is where everything takes place, right here in the mind. And you know what? I got to say, I've learned through the years that how a person believes normally determines how he or she will behave or act. What a person's convictions are will actually prepare them for how they are going to face death. And you know, no doubt, one of the greatest evidences of a true relationship with God is how we will act when we're about to die. I mean, when we face death, will we face it with bitterness and regret? Or will we face death with love and the hope of eternity, with not only our loved ones, but with Jesus, with our Lord, with our Savior who died for us? I've been at many deathbeds. And you know what? You see the genuine Christianity in those that have given their lives to Christ. And man, they are ready to see the Lord. They're excited about it. They can't wait. I love what Paul said in Philippians 1:21. He said, for me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Man, it's gain. I'm not losing anything. I'm gaining everything. I want to ask you a couple questions to be thinking of as we go through our study this evening. Will our faith carry us through our death? When you and I face the last enemy, how are we going to respond? Are we going to be afraid or are we going to be excited? Man, Lord, let's just go for it. Let's do it. I want to see you, man. Hebrews 9:27, many of you know the scripture. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this what? The judgment. The judgment. I mean, it's a no-brainer. This is an appointment that every one of us are going to have to make. Unless, of course, the rapture happens. I mean, if the rapture happens, we won't die. You know, I was thinking of the Bible last night as I was kind of finalizing the study and going through it. You know, the Bible is a book of life. But those of you that study it know it also records death. There's a lot of death in the Bible also. We know it all started with Adam. When God told Adam, hey, you see that tree there? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil? On the day, Adam, that you eat of its fruit, you will die. And you know what? You guys know the story. I don't have to get into it. The rib that God gave Adam, called Eve. Here, Adam, taste some of this. Man, it is good. No doubt when she handed that fruit to him, it was just dripping with juice. And Adam's probably, Well, you know, we know the story. It happened just as God said. Adam could have lived forever and never tasted death. But he ended up tasting physical death. And you know, since Adam died, all men, mankind, have died. With that in mind, in looking at our study tonight, you know, the longest record of any recorded death in the Bible is that of Jacob. We see it in chapters 47, 48, and 49. And I love, you know, I thought of the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 21 says this: by faith, when Jacob was dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on top of his staff. Hebrews makes it clear in this Hall of Faith chapter that one of the greatest acts of faith in Jacob's life, I mean, here's a dude, he's 147 years old. One of the greatest acts of faith was on his deathbed. It's kind of sad, you know, when you think about it. But here he is, 147 years old. He's full of hope, and he's worshiping God in faith. Now, we know Jacob hadn't received the promise of God in Canaan. In fact, they're in Egypt now. But here's the deal. Jacob was assured that it would be, that the promise would be there in Canaan. How do we know this? How do we know he knew that? By faith, he's going to bless Joseph's sons. And tonight, you know, as we look at our study, I want to draw some lessons from Jacob's life. For those of you that are taking notes, lessons from a mature faith. Notice here in verse 1 of chapter 48. It says, now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed, your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on his bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. You know, we read after these things. What is he referring to? Well, it goes back to Genesis 47, 27. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there and grew and multiplied exceedingly. They had settled in Egypt. The first lesson I see here, a mature faith is produced through adversity. A mature faith is produced through adversity. Now, we need to pay particular attention to while the children of Israel are here in Egypt, what's happening? I mean, they're fruitful and they're multiplying. You see, here's the point I believe God wants to bring out in this chapter as we look at tonight. As we grow and mature, we find through the course of our Christian life, listen to me, church, that fruit grows in the valleys and not on the mountaintops. The mountaintop is when you're cruising in the Lord. Man, you have no trials. I mean, everything is just clicking like clockwork. You're going, Rick, when have we ever been on the mountaintop? I mean, sometimes it's short-lived, huh? Very short-lived. The valley is when you're getting slammed, you're getting hammered. Man, you are getting nailed to the wall with trials, and it's like parked cars. It's one trial after another. You ever feel like that sometimes? It seems like that's the way life is now. It seems like the norm now. A mature faith, it's produced through adversity. It's when you and I are in that furnace of affliction. It's then and only then that we truly learn what to trust God. It's not when things are going good. Guys, man, I'll level with you. When things are going really good, I'm not thinking of God as much as I do when things are going bad. I mean, I'm on my face, man. I'm on my knees, you know. I'm just seeking the Lord on what he wants to do. It's when Jacob wrestled with God that Jacob actually suffered heartache. Because God broke him. God broke Jacob of Jacob when he wrestled with God. You know what? Do something with me. Flip back to chapter 47, verse 28. Look at what it says here, 28 to 31. It says, and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "Now if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt. Let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." And Joseph said, "I will do as you said, Dad." And he said, "Swear to me." And Joseph swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on the head of the bed. Here's the key that brings application to each one of us. Here, Jacob was living in Egypt, and Egypt typifies what? The world. Here, he's living in Egypt, but notice where his heart is. His heart is in Canaan, the land of promise. You see, this is the way we need to live our lives as Christians. We're here in Egypt, man. But our heart needs to lie in the land of promise, in the heavenlies. Paul wrote in Philippians 3:20, he said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." What does Israel do here? He tells Joseph that he wants him to promise. As Jacob's last testimony, to have his body buried in the land of promise. You see, that's a mature faith. That's a mature faith because you're standing on God and his word to the very end. Look at Jacob's life. Look at his life. We studied it through the months of what Jacob, how he blew it, how he deceived and lied and connived and was a cheater. And man, can anybody relate? I got three people raising their hands. That's it. Come on, church. Stinking sinners, man. Every one of us. Notice the first words out of Jacob's mouth. Notice what he says. God Almighty. El Shaddai. The all-powerful God. The mighty God. The mighty one. I mean, he's just totally focused on the Lord, which brings me to lesson number two that we can learn from. A mature faith is God conscious. God conscious, man. A mature faith because the first time we see Jacob using God's name, what was he doing? He's deceiving his father to believe he was his older brother Esau and not Jacob. He's using it in deception. We read in Genesis 27, verse 20, "But Isaac said to his son, 'How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?'" Now remember, Isaac was going to bless his oldest son, Esau. Remember we talked about favoritism? Well, Isaac favored Esau, and Rebekah, Isaac's wife, favored Jacob. And Rebekah overheard Isaac telling Esau, "Hey, go cook me that beef stew you cook. You know, put all the works in it, man, and get that kicking sauce. Man, get it in there. You know the way I love it, Esau." And so Esau went out in the field to get it. Well, what happened is Rebekah told Jacob, "Hey, you know what? Your dad's going to give your older brother the blessing," which actually is who it should have went to. "But you go get me. Go get me the goat, man. I'm going to go ahead and prepare it and everything. I'll get it for you. You get in there and you get the blessing." Jacob said, "All right." Well, here's Jacob. He's in there. He even went as far as to put his brother's shirt on because it smelled like the field. And he took the skins of the animal, the hairy skins, and put them on his hands and on his neck. So if his dad said, "Come here, let me smell you, man," Esau must have stunk. I bet you wish they had polo back then, you know, something to spray on, you know. And so he puts all this on so that when Isaac says, "Hey, come here, let me smell you," I'm sure Jacob's heart was going boop, 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 boop. You know how it does in the throat? He goes up and Isaac goes, "Man, smells like Esau," you know, but the voice is Jacob's. Well, it goes on, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" And he, Jacob, pretending to be Esau, he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Liar. Mommy got it and fixed it for you, Jakey. Mommy did it. You didn't do it. I mean, it's incredible. But look now at the change in Jacob's life as Jacob finally realizes that his life has been in God's hand all along. And notice this, guys, tonight. There's no fear of death. You don't have to fear death, man. Here he has no fear of death. You see, we rest in the knowledge that God will receive us in his time. We rest in that. And in the way that seems fitting for him. We're not guaranteed. It'd be sweet if we could just go to sleep at night, open our eyes, and we're in heaven. Some of us are going to go through car accidents. We're going to go through all kinds of drama. It could be sickness. It could be our body shutting down, cancer. We don't know. But however God is going to do it, this is the way God's going to prepare it, because he's going to expect us to be faithful what he's entrusted to us and use it for his glory and a witness to others. I mean, if I'm burning cancer and I'm going through it and the chemo and all that, and you guys still see that, man, I'm looking to the Lord. I'm trusting God. I'm still moving forward. I'm not getting mad at God because I got cancer. Guess what? You're going to glorify God through it. You're going to say, man, Rick is standing strong, man. His eyes are focused on the Lord. He knows where he's going. You got to go down before you can go up. Look at Jacob's focus. Verse 11 in chapter 48. God has let me see your children as well. Verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. Verse 16, the angel, speaking of Jesus actually, who has redeemed me from all evil. Verse 20, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Verse 21, then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I'm about to die, but God will be with you. Not might, not pray that he is. God will be with you, and he will bring you to the land of your fathers, Joseph. The end of Jacob's life is consumed with what? God. I mean, God was the sustaining force as he looked back on his life. God sustained him. Guys, you've heard the saying, hindsight is always 20/20. When you look back, you can always see. When we get to the end of our life, we're going to see that it was God who sustained us through every adversity and trial and just bad thing throughout our whole life, man. God was there. He didn't abandon us. He was there. But what we need to ask ourselves tonight, is our life centered on God? Is our life centered on God? I mean, we get caught up, and we all do. We're all guilty of this, and it's not a bad thing. But, you know, we want to pass education on to our children. We want them to have a good education. We want to pass an inheritance on to them. We want to pass a family name on to them. Or maybe it's a business that we own we want to pass on to our kids. But what about Jesus? Are we passing Jesus on to them? You're talking the physical, the worldly, and you're talking the eternal, the spiritual. It is having a balance, but the preference needs to be on the spiritual. Jacob remembers the first encounter he ever had with God. Do you guys remember your first encounter with God? How many of you actually remember the moment that God broke you and you prayed and gave your life to Christ? How many of you actually remember the moment? See, some of us do. With others of us, it might have been a gradual thing and just we worked into it. But mine was a night and day thing. I mean, I was facing death. I had guys hunting me to kill me. I mean, it was a life-death thing. And I just prayed and said, God, if you're real, you got to reveal yourself to me because I'm going to get the bullet here anytime. And you know what? If I die, I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. I want to make sure I'm going to be with you, God. I don't want to go to hell. Jacob remembers. It was there in Bethel when he was running from his brother. When Esau found out, you chump, you stole my birthright. Here, Dad blessed you. I should have got that blessing. Jacob did the smoking tennis shoe. I mean, you seen the cartoons? They're running and smoke's coming off the tennis, baby. I mean, they're burning rubber. Jacob, you know, he was running from his brother. And what happened? Remember, he saw that ladder in a vision from the earth going up into heaven. And he saw the angels ascending and descending on it. Jacob blew his mind. I bet he was pretty blessed he wasn't doing dope. It would have really blew his mind. I mean, you know, he sees this. He knows it's been God who has blessed him his whole life. And remember, we studied his life. There was a lot of bad things that Jacob went through. And yet, notice what he does at the end of his life. He's looking at the blessings. He looks back and he sees God's faithfulness. And he sees how God has always kept his promises. God has never let me down. Man, I've been with him for over 30. He's never let me down, but guess what? I've let him down a lot. He's never let me down. Look at verse 4 back in chapter 48 here as we continue. And said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people, and give this land to your descendants after you as an inheritance or as an everlasting possession. You know, when we get old, there's two extremes. First of all, we can look back at life with pride at our accomplishments. Man, look what I did. I mean, you know, look how good I was. Yeah, it was me. I was smarter than everyone else. Only I could do it. Or we can look back and see bitterness. You know what, man? My kids never came to visit me. It's a doctor's fault my health is as bad as it is. I mean, I hear that a lot. You know, it was what that husband did to me. It was what that wife did to me. You know, my mom had it out for me, or my brother or my sister hated me. We can go through all that if you want to go through that. I want to end my days like Jacob, giving glory to God. God, this is what you did. Look at verse 5. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Your offspring, whom you beget after them, shall be yours. They will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. Now, what is he doing here? What's he saying here? Well, the name Ephraim in the Hebrew means double fruitful. And the older brother, Manasseh, I like that. Manasseh means causing me to forget. When Manasseh was born, Joseph said, God has given me a son and is causing me to forget my family and what my brothers did to me. Causing me to forget. Hear what Jacob is doing. He is now adopting these two sons of Joseph. Number one, because Reuben, the firstborn, was disqualified for his sinful life. Remember what happened with Reuben? We see it in 1 Chronicles 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, he was indeed the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed. I mean, he had sex with one of the concubines, one of his dad's wives, who was a concubine. His birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh, the son of Israel, so that the genealogy is not listed according to the birthright, yet Judah prevailed over his brothers. He's one of the other tribes. And from him came a ruler, although the birthright was Joseph's. Who was the ruler? Jesus. Jesus came through the seed of Judah. You know, here, I love this. Here, Jacob is able to hang out with his grandsons. And so he's going to put his grandsons, he's adopting them in the sense that Joseph is not listed in the genealogy. And Reuben's not going to be numbered among them. So they're putting in Manasseh and Ephraim in there to make up the 12 tribes of Israel. We know Levi didn't receive an inheritance. Why? Because they were the priestly tribe. So it makes up the 12 sons, the 12 tribes here I like what J. Vern McGee said. He said, if I had known how grand grandchildren would be, I would have had them before I had my children. I love that. You know what grandchildren are to me? Payback. My daughters bring them over, man, I puff them with sugar and candy, and they go home, they're bouncing off the windows of the car, man. I mean, it's like, yes, you know, I love these grandkids. No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, I'm not, but you know, I do love them. It's not for payback. The flesh says it's for, but I don't. Lesson number three, I love this one. A mature faith is not being bitter. A mature faith is not being bitter. Look at verse 7. But as for me, Jacob said, when I came from Padan, Rachel. Who was Rachel? Rachel was the love of his life. He said, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrah. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrah, that is Bethlehem. Jacob loved Rachel. Jacob wanted to spend his entire life with Rachel. I mean, he just loved her. But I want you to notice tonight with me, there is no bitterness in his life. Right now, it's been about 35 years since Rachel's death. Jacob had two wives. He had two concubines. He worked 7 years for Rachel because she is all he wanted, man. He didn't want anything else. But you guys know the story. Remember Uncle Laban? Leah and Rachel's dad? Well, here's Jacob working for Laban, Uncle Laban, and they're both ripping each other off, trying to outsmart each other. Well, so what happens? Jacob works 7 years for Rachel to his uncle. He works for his uncle for 7 years. He has this big party, this big feast. He has his honeymoon, the consummation of the marriage. Jacob wakes up in his morning, and when he opens his eyes, there's Leah, Rachel's sister. I'll bet you he never drank again in his life. Of course, you know, he went to his uncle and he said, man, what's this? And Uncle Laban, I love it. Well, you know, we should give the older one first and then the younger. I mean, that's how you give away your daughters, you know. So he ended up working another 7 years. And remember what it says in the scriptures? They seem like this. Because he loved Rachel so long. So he waited 14 years to get Rachel. But Jacob, here's Jacob, he's not bitter over it. Yeah, there was sorrow and there will be, but there's no bitterness. He's not bitter over it. I've had people ask me, Rick, why did God allow my dad to die when I was young? I never got to be around him. Why did my business fail? How about why did my marriage fail? It's as if we're sitting there in my office and I can open up my drawer and I have this phone in there and I can grab the phone and say, hold on a minute, let me find out for you. Like I got a hotline. You know what, man? I don't know why certain things happen. I don't even know why they happen in my own life. I don't know. But I do know this. God loves me, and God loves you, and God is in total control. And you know what? Because I know that, I do not have to try to figure God out. Neither do you. We don't need to have all the answers. Amen? Amen? He's in control. He's working it out for the good. I mean, I have no idea what God has in mind. But you see, here's the whole deal of the study tonight on a mature faith. This is where faith comes in. This is where faith comes in. I'm sure it was a sacrifice for these two sons of Joseph to be adopted by their grandfather, Jacob. Why? Here's Jacob. He's a shepherd. Here's their dad, Joseph, and he is the second most powerful man on the face of the earth at that time, over all of Egypt. Through their dad, Joseph, think about it. Not only would they have some awesome positions, some great positions, they'd have luxury, they'd have everything you could ever want. And you know what I love about this whole thing? They submitted to their grandfather's request by faith. By faith, man. Look at verse 8 here. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons, and he said, "Who are these?" Talk about getting old and not seeing. And Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons, whom God has given me in this place." And he said, "Please bring them to me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them, and he embraced them. Now, first of all, I want you to notice something here. Notice that children are given to us by God. They're given to us by God. I mean, you know, I know it's tough to raise children, but it's amazing how some parents look at children as burdens instead of blessings. But you know what? On the other hand, I kind of like Mark Twain's philosophy. He says, when a kid turns 13, stick them in a barrel, nail the lid on top, and feed them through the knot hole. When he turns 16, plug up the knot hole. Now, I know CPS wouldn't like that, you know. It's amazing. But look at Jacob here. He doesn't have that W.C. Fields mentality. Get away from me, kid. You bother me. You know, I mean, he's not doing that. Jacob wants to bless Joseph's boys. And you know, here we read that his physical eyes were dim, but let me tell you something. Spiritually speaking, he never saw clearer. Why? Because God was leading him. It leads me to lesson 4. A mature faith has grown in love. Look at verse 11. And Israel said to Joseph, "I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring." And Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. Now, you know, bringing them from beside his knees, I'm thinking in my mind these boys are probably 4 or 5 years old, maybe 6 years old. But you know what? Joseph's sons were born before Jacob came to Egypt. Jacob has been here, what, 17 years now? Think about it. That would make these guys somewhere between 18 to 20 years old. So that tells me these boys knew exactly what they were doing. They were submitting by faith to Grandpa. Lesson number 5, I love this. A mature faith sees God do the impossible. A mature faith sees God do the impossible. Is there something going on in your life tonight and you're thinking, man, this is impossible, it ain't never going to happen. Nothing's going to change, this is just the way it is. A mature faith sees God doing the impossible. Who would have ever thought Jacob would see Joseph, his son, again? But here we read, not only did he see him, he raised his sons, man, on his knee. His grandsons. Bounced him on his knee, hung out with him, man. I could see him with his walker and his cane smacking him every now and then, you know. Something falling from the table, take his cane, slap it back over to him so they could have it. You know, I mean, he got 17 years with him. Nothing, church, listen, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is. Man, when you can stand and on that and believe that, even though the way things may appear, look, man, you know what? You get the peace and the joy that you need to have in your life as Christians. The peace and joy that you need to have. Look at verse 13. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand, and notice, he laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day." Now, the right hand, when Jacob was moving his right hand, the blessing should have went to the older. I mean, that's the way it works. And the left hand would have been to the younger. And here he's going to the younger for the blessing, and his left hand was going to the older. And what's neat about this whole thing is Jacob is looking at this and what he's doing, the blessing he's about to give. Something that really dawned on me, and that is that we see here the Lord looked at as a shepherd. Notice that his whole life, he says that God has fed me all my life long to this day. He shepherded me, man. You know, that's amazing to me, because that means Jacob, not David, was the first that saw God as a shepherd. We always look at David because he was a young shepherd boy. Brings me to lesson 6. A mature faith is dependence on God, not on man. It's dependence on God. We know that sheep don't have sharp teeth. We know that sheep don't have claws. We know sheep can't run fast. We know sheep are defenseless. Amazing that we are referred to as sheep in the scriptures. As a sheep, we have to look to the great shepherd. I mean, think about that. Think about sheep. Sheep are stupid. Sheep will stray into another field. We need a shepherd. Jacob knew that he needed a shepherd. I love, you know, look at verse 16 here. Look what he says. The angel, and that angel is actually a reference to Jesus here in the Old Testament, as we talked about last week, who has redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, Ephraim was the younger, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's hand to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "No, not so, my father. For this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on him." Here Joseph, he must have closed his eyes and was listening to his dad's prayer. He must have opened his eyes and he saw what Jacob did. He crossed his hands. His right hand of blessing went on the younger. And so what's he do? He starts pulling the hand off. He thought, well, you know, my dad can't see. He's blowing it. But you know what? I believe there's a biblical principle here that we need to learn tonight. And that is, we need to be mature enough to realize that God doesn't always do things our way. Just because we think this is the way something should be done does not mean that's what God has in mind. I mean, there will be times that God will choose someone that we don't expect. God will at times choose somebody who we don't believe to be qualified. God will choose somebody we don't believe to be deserving. And he'll pass us up in the process. Have that ever happened to you? At your job or whatever it was? It brings me to lesson number 7. A mature faith is an obedient faith. An obedient faith. Look at verse 19. But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. Shut up." That's not in your Bible. I just brought it up to today. He goes, "I know, my son, I know. He also, the older, shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations." Now, many years before, remember, it was Jacob who had deceived his father over the birthright. Why? Because Isaac wanted to bless Esau. But I want you to notice, now he is yielded to God's will. We don't see Jacob fighting no more. And you know what? I think age does that. Age does that to you. You get tired of the fight. And you just want to mellow out. And it's like, okay, God, if that's what you have, cool, fine. You know, I'm sweet with it. Notice he's not fighting God. He's following him now. And you know what I love about it? You study the scriptures throughout history. God has not only skipped over, but he's also broken protocol. The way we think things should be done, you know what? We see it with David. David had 7 older brothers. Any one of them could have been the king of Israel. We saw with Moses. Moses couldn't even speak. He stuttered. Come on. God says, I want you to go before Pharaoh. And Moses is going, no buzz. Moses said, man, I can't even speak. You know, I'm going, yeah, okay, I understand. I relate. God says, Moses, who made your mouth, man? Come on. Am I not God? Who made your tongue, Moses? And Moses kept, you know, shut up. God says, okay, man, I'll send your brother Aaron. I'll let him be like a priest to you, you know, and he'll go with you, Moses. Isaac, same thing. I mean, here Abraham didn't have a son, so he was going to use Ishmael to be the inheritance. Hagar's son, the bondwoman, the son of flesh. And God broke over that and had Isaac born. Same thing happened with Jacob. Esau didn't receive the blessing. Jacob did. And now with Manasseh and Ephraim. You know, I got to say this. All these years of ministry, I got to say this, man. People really struggle with the sovereignty of God. If you knew how many people I was discouraged with that said, you know what? Rick's not a pastor. He'll never be able to pastor a church. He's not a Bible teacher. I mean, I was discouraged. I wanted to quit. I didn't want to do anything. And I just gave it to the Lord. And I said, you know what, Lord? I'm stepping out in faith. If I fall on my face, I'm falling on my face before you. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Praise God, you know. I'll do whatever you want me to. You want me to clean the restrooms? I'll clean the restrooms. Whatever you want me to do. You want me to go back in the work field? I hate it, but I'll go. Whatever you want me to do. Because see, I learned this. As long as I am in God's will, what's anybody going to do to me? A mature faith is trusting Him. He has got your back. He's the one who's going to bring you through. Not your brother or sister or husband or wife or mom or dad or son or daughter. It's going to be Him, man. It's going to be Him that's going to do it. We'll question God on how He chooses some and rejects others. But what we need to keep in mind, are you ready for this? Hold on to your seats, man. God can do what He pleases. And what God does is always, church, listen to me, it's always right. Why? Because He is God. He's God. The last lesson here as we close, lesson number 8, a mature faith is confident. It's confident. Look at verse 20 as we finish here. So He blessed them that day, saying, by you, Ephraim and Manasseh, Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. And thus He set Ephraim before Manasseh, the younger before the older. And Israel said to Joseph, behold, I'm dying, but God might be with you. Is that what it says in your translation? Come on, man. God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. When Jacob ran from his brother in Genesis 28:15, listen to this, just follow me with this. God came to him at Bethel and said, Jake, I'm with you. In Genesis 31:3, this is 20 years later, after that time, Jacob was being sent by God back to Canaan, and God said, Jacob, I will be with you. In his latter years, Jacob said in Genesis 35:3, God has been with me wherever I have gone. How many times in his life could he have said, God, where are you? And he looks back with a mature faith and says, you've been with me wherever I've gone. Jacob is on his deathbed, and in faith, he sees God bringing Joseph back to the land of promise. You know what? Every one of us will face death. And when we do, where will we go? Of course, we say heaven, and why? Well, because I attended Calvary Chapel at Atlanta. Not... I mean, St. Peter is not going to say, oh, Pastor Rick, by all means, come on in. Anybody that attended Rick's church is always welcome here in heaven. You guys know that ain't going to happen. The only way we're getting into heaven is because of our faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. It's because of his shed blood for us, the ultimate atonement he made for each one of our souls so that we could be with him.